Gather around your speakers, hoop heads. It's NBA story time. Jamel Johnson here to spin you tales of NBA shenanigans you didn't know you needed to know. Like that time when a little startup league tried anything to be relevant, or when Ricky Davis earned himself a dumb nickname. I also love you, Ricky Davis. Catch a new tale on NBA Storytime every week, then listen to the postgame where I break it down with comedians, ballers, and what have you. Find NBA Storytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Guys, what's up? I want to take a quick second to let you guys know that our podcast is supported by Anchor. That's right. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. I'm doing this ad from my phone as we speak. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. Evidently, I can't talk. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Now back to the show.
Special guest Nicholas Bear joins the podcast today. We talk all things Iowa basketball. Nick's story, his journey to Iowa City, what it's like playing with guys like Bohannon, Garza, Wieskamp, all of it. A lot of other personal stuff from Nick as well. Really hope you guys enjoy this one. Listen to the whole thing. Let's have a day. Let's go.
Welcome back, Washed Up Walk-Ons fans. This is the 83rd episode of the podcast. Excuse me. And I'll tell you what, it's no secret that I am pretty excited to get on the podcast every time that we do. I've said it before, I really do enjoy just coming on here, chopping it up with the guys, having people on, having great conversations. It's always a great time. But today, I think this might be one of the more excited I've been. This episode in particular is one that I've wanted to do for quite a while because of how much history behind the scenes this guy and myself have through other people, through all of our high school careers. And it's also another opportunity for us as a podcast to step outside of the realm of football and get some other Hawks on the podcast who deserve to be recognized for the awesome shit that they did in their careers. Not everybody has a podcast to talk about how great they used to be.
But we do.
So we're trying to offer our platform to others to fucking remember the good times, man, because this whole growing up shit, it's not as fun as I expected it to be. Like, getting to decide what you eat for lunch and what you wear and what curse words you say, like, that's okay. But paying bills and shit, like, I didn't know how much I hated paying a cable bill until I was on the phone cursing out somebody on DirecTV because their prices are way too expensive and it was a $400 cancellation fee. So, like, you know, growing up just ain't all that shit. But we have a great podcast, and today we have probably – man, what's going to end up being a top five all-time guest. I guarantee this is going to be a great conversation. Nicholas Golden Bear, welcome to the podcast, bro.
What's up, guys? Hey, thanks for having me. It's a lot of pressure putting on me. Holy shit.
Oh, there's absolutely zero pressure. In fact, after that intro, I realized how truly sad what we're doing here is. You know, we are fresh off of recording episode 82 with the one and only Macon Plev as a guest host, talking about football, talking about Hawkeyes, talking about the UFC fight, and we're you know, in this off season format, we've switched over to getting all of our shit done on Sundays so that we can be a little bit more professional, a little bit more scheduled, and now we have, like Drake said, someone on who we've wanted for a while. Nick, so excited to have you on and have a basketball perspective. Gosh, where to start? Let's start with what Drake mentioned. A lot of history, not necessarily directly, but Drake and you hail from the same part of the earth.
We do.
Hey, his town, listen to me. His town on their sign says Bettendorf. Welcome to the premier city.
Yep.
Fuck Bettendorf.
Top of the top. So
now that's out in the oxygen, I'll let you speak.
Yeah, no, both from the Eastern Iowa area. I was actually born in Iowa City, but I grew up in Bettendorf, moved there in like second grade. So been there my whole life. Went through high school and everything there, kicked Muscatine's ass a bunch of times. You know, it was all good
Here
fun.
Here we go.
All the time,
so. Here we go.
Yeah.
And the worst part is he has all the bragging rights.
let's talk about it. What was the closest game that Muscatine gave you guys in high school?
Oh man, funny story. One of my memories about Muscatine is I remember we were playing them. It was my junior year, I think. Maybe it was my senior year. It was their senior night. And we were there playing, and we got chewed out at the end of the third quarter because we, like, stole a ball, and one of my teammates tried to throw an off-the-backboard alley-oop to me, and it just didn't come off. It's like, you can't do that on, like, someone's, like, senior night, you know?
we got chewed out at the disrespect.
Yeah, we probably should.
That's incredible.
It would have been fine if I would have made it, but didn't go down.
That's actually incredible. Man. And just the fact that Drake likes it, like, he's obviously the shit talker on the podcast. You probably know that. And so to get somebody in here that can really just, you know, bring Muscatine down a level and all of that is it's really great.
We're all for that.
So y'all, we'll get into it, but,
so Nick, I want to start off 2012.
Oh boy.
That football team, have you that? So, the story, Justin Van Hooten. Most people are gonna have no idea what I'm talking about, but that's okay. Did he actually jump out of a moving car?
I can't confirm that, but if you like that wouldn't surprise me. Like,
so there's a story. So this for the podcast listeners. I don't bring this up for no reason. Justin Van Hooten is the single number one scariest football player I've ever played against in my life, bar none, no level or anything. Because I was the least prepared to be up against somebody like him, because I've never met somebody that was more fucked up than me by so far. Like, he's several standard deviations to the right of me, and that is really saying something. And the word on the street around Eastern Iowa is that he was in an altercation with somebody inside a car, and they were just like talking a bunch of shit, and they said he wouldn't jump out of the car, blah blah blah. They bet him, and he jumped out of a moving car at like 30 some mile an hour. It's the word on the street.
I think I heard something about that. I'm not sure if it's true or not, but like, I wouldn't doubt it though. Like, that's very quite possible.
So, Nick, I imagine you probably didn't hang out with a lot of people that had those qualities.
No, I wasn't jumping out of cars in high school.
Yeah,
no.
you seem like more of a straight edge. One of the guys that if you were on the football team at Iowa, KF would have really, really enjoyed talking about.
Here's another story that takes us back to high school. We were playing Bettendorf in passing league. Did you ever know about passing league, Nick?
I heard about it, yeah.
Yeah. It's always just high school 7-on-7, but it was just to try and get everybody better. And we were playing in Rock Island, which was already a sketchy place to be. And we were playing Bettendorf. And, like, you know, passing leagues, no helmets, no pads, nothing, just two-hand touch, 7-on-7. And the way Justin Van Hooten got me down one time was I ran an out route from the slot and he just, you know, was playing outside linebacker and I tried to cut back and he tagged me down with a punch to the face. Yeah. He just punched me in the face.
Only one way to play.
So talk about your years at Bettendorf. Any memories or anything that you think kind of shaped you and led you to your time in Iowa City? What are some of the better times in high school, and how did Nick Bear become a guy that the Iowa basketball team found?
Yeah, I think a lot of the reason I am who I am today is from the Bettendorf culture that we had. And I think what was really unique was I got a chance to play with all the people in my grade. We were all pretty much playing with each other from third grade on. So we had really good chemistry together. But I think I remember my junior year, we went 25-1. We lost in the state title game to Iowa City West. And those guys were really good. And I remember come back the next year and just thinking, this is it. We got everybody back. We lost a couple seniors, but I just remember the standard to play at Bettendorf was always to play as hard as you can, every possession you can. I think that's something that I definitely carried with me at Iowa. Mm-hmm. And I think that was just the expectation. And I think that's something that has always stuck with me. And it comes second nature now, at the pro level. It's just your habit. And I think just being in Bettendorf, they helped me build really good habits. Yeah. And therefore being able to have some success at Iowa.
What was the process of you becoming a Hawkeye? What did that look like? When did that begin in your high school?
Yeah. So my senior year, I had hardly any interest at all. I had some interest from Wayne State, out in Nebraska, and
Puke.
Pretty much I know. So, but it pretty much really picked up after my senior year. I had an opportunity. I had one scholarship offer to Northwest Missouri State, which is a Division II school, Division II powerhouse. They've won two or three national championships in a row. And then I could have walked on at Drake, UNI, or Iowa. I just grew up an Iowa fan. I grew up huge Iowa Hawkeye fan. Wasn't really interested in Drake that much, mainly because they were going to make a private tuition. I wasn't interested in that. If you had to pick between Iowa City or Cedar Falls, that's a pretty clear choice. So,
sounds like the easiest decision of all time.
I just had a chance to sit down with, cause Coach McCaffrey, he saw me play in Des Moines. I was playing against Connor actually in the state semifinal. Oh, yeah. We lost. Connor actually iced the game. He made two free throws, to put him up four with 3 seconds or something. So, he's given me a whole lot of shit about that. it's just interesting how shit happens. But so he saw me play there. I had 22-12 that game. And then he had me come to campus for an unofficial and offered me a walk-on spot. And I remember walking out of that because my mom was there and shit. And I was just I'm not turning this down. So I think I called him 2 days later. I was let's do this.
Your story sounds like you could be the fourth host of this podcast right now. Legit. It's almost crazy the parallels outside of the difference, the major difference of just the sport being something else.
Many jumpers did you put up between your junior and senior year? Because your senior year, you were an absolute sniper. I was screaming for people to throw you the ball.
Yeah, that would be interesting. What does... Before you were ever in college, what did your workouts look like? How much time were you putting in an off season, in a high school off season? What did that look like?
Our high school did a good job of making sure we had scheduled workouts every day. But so they were always it was always interesting because we had a bunch of football players too. So we had to go before the football, weightlifting at 7:30. So we had our workouts 6 a.m. to make sure we could accommodate the football players. So we'd always have that. But then the thing that I always appreciated, it's my mom's the principal at Bettendorf High School. He's the school. So pretty much when if anybody's as long as no one's using it for volleyball or anything like that, I could pretty much just take the keys and
absolutely
go up whenever I wanted. So I think I utilized that quite a bit, and that was always helpful. And I think just being able to find gym space that way. But yeah, I think just getting up like a lot of shots, and like especially like in college, my junior year, I didn't shoot it that great, and I knew I wanted to, you know, finish it off well. And I think like something that Iowa does really well is, and like you guys see it now, like I think they're ranked like first or third in like offensive efficiency this season, is because of the guys who can like do all like all skills, like dribble, can do it all. So I think Iowa does a really nice job of like developing your skills, and I think that's something that really helped me, is just like spending a lot of time in the gym and just getting a lot of shots up.
Yeah.
So we know what it's like to be like walk on a football team. There's like 105 guys, but obviously there's a lot of spots to compete for. As a walk on a basketball team, like there's only five guys on the court at any given time. So like you don't hear about a whole lot of walk on stories in basketball like you do in football. Can you talk a little bit about that? Like what the process was like for you to, you know, get some recognition, get some court time, and eventually be, you know, the guy senior year?
Yeah, I think I remember a funny story. It's like my first like 2 weeks on campus. We had like 2 weeks of practice. We had like one of those like closed door scrimmages that like no one's supposed to know about, but of course everybody knows what's going on. So we go and play Creighton, and I'm rooming with Aaron White at the time, who's like senior and like senior leader and everything. Yep. And like they give us our scouting reports, and I'm just assuming like we're supposed to like look it over and like know it or whatever. And we go down to breakfast the next morning, and unbeknownst to me, we have a quiz. So we get quizzed about it, and I look at like, cause one of our coaches is like, okay, like yeah, time for a quiz. And I'm thinking like, oh, he's just like pulling my leg. I look over at Whitey, and he has like the biggest smirk on his face because he didn't.
They didn't tell any of the.
They first. Set your ass up.
What an asshole!
I know. So like, I was like, wow, like really? So I ended up getting the question like half right, but ever since then I've been like, all right, like I didn't. That was the last question I missed. Like the rest of the
game. Smart man. Very smart man.
I was like, all right, that's how it is. But no, I think something I always appreciate is just like Coach McCaffrey always like. He gives you like what you earn, like based off merit, not necessarily based off like what, like how many stars like you had like in high school. Like it's based on like how can you perform, like how can you help the team, and like yeah, there's only five guys on the court, so like if you can extend your value even further, like that's gonna help you. And I think that's something I always appreciated. But yeah, I think like the early walk on days were. I mean, my first redshirt year was kind of fun. It's like I wasn't playing, but I was on scout team, so like I was. Pretty much like being like the opposing players every day, and you pretty much have free reign. You can like do almost no wrong. Like you can, you're aggressive and you miss. It's like okay, you know that's what he's gonna do, type of thing. So, I think my ultimate on scholarship, and I was glad I finally achieved that. Yeah,
I do definitely miss that about being on scout team, man. You could literally just do whatever you want,
the hell you want,
as long as you're giving some effort. They didn't care.
Yep.
That reminds me of B. Ross. Because when you're on scout team on the football team, your goal is to basically get noticed by fucking up as many starters as you can. And you're going to get in trouble, but you're going to get noticed. Yeah. And like.
Yeah. My line. Yeah.
So that's funny. You were the sixth man of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about that. Talk about that mindset. You mentioned I shot out a text. You might have saw tweets if you checked your phone. I tagged you in a tweet, and I asked, what would you ask? If you had one question, what would you ask Nick Bear? One of them was, what was it like being the sixth man of the year, and talk about that. And then also, what was it like playing all the time 100% gassed because of the effort you gave? And I think those two things go hand in hand.
Right.
Yeah,
I think when I started, like, my first year, something I always, like, thought to myself was, like, what is something that I can do that, like, no one else can bring? Like, what is something, like, to separate myself to try to get, like, on the court? And I think, for me, that was definitely, like, bringing energy and, like, playing, like, as hard as I could, as long as I could. And, like, I understood, like, I knew going in, like, okay, I'm not going to be playing, like, 30-plus minutes. I'm probably going to be playing anywhere from, like, 15 to 20. So, as long, like, just play balls to the wall, like, while we're out there. And then, like, you, like, that's how you'll be effective, type of thing. And I think that carried over in like my sixth man of the year, just also because like I knew that was the year we had like Peter Jock, we had Tyler Cook and Jordan Bohannon. We had like
studs.
These freshmen were up and coming. And we had Peter Jock, who's like an all conference player, like led the league in scoring. So like I understood that I didn't need, like, I didn't need to go out and get like 15, 20. Like, I needed to like be really good at my role, which is like playing with high energy and helping affect winning. And I think like I took a lot of pride in that. And I think that's
and getting an insane amount of rebounds for a not tall white guy.
I know. Yeah. I mean, that's why happens. You go
making the other not tall white guys really damn proud.
Go to the boards every time. Good shit will happen, man. So, but yeah, no, I always like took pride in that. And I was like, I was kind of like surprised by like at the end of the year that I got that award, but I had something I'm like very proud about and always keep with me. Yeah.
Hey guys. Yep, it's me again. Got to interrupt the episode real quick to talk to you guys about Spotify, one of the sponsors of this podcast. On Spotify, you can listen to all your favorite artists and podcasts in one place for free. You don't even need a premium account. Spotify has a huge catalog of podcasts on every topic, including the one you're listening to right now. Yeah, we're on Spotify. I don't know how we did that, but pretty cool. Other things you can do on Spotify is follow your favorite podcast so you never miss an episode. Premium users can download episodes to listen to offline, wherever you are, and you can easily share what you're listening to with your friends on Instagram. If you haven't done so already, be sure to download the Spotify app. Search for Wash Up Walk-Ons on Spotify or browse podcasts in the Your Library tab. Also, make sure to follow us so that you never miss an episode of the Wash Up Walk-Ons.
So one of the questions that I got was for you was, did you have any welcome to the Big Ten moments, either good or bad, like, oh shit, I don't know if I'm prepared for this, or like an oh shit moment you walked into an opposing environment where you're like, damn, like I'm really a part of this? Anything come to mind for that?
Yeah, well, not Big Ten. I remember my redshirt year, I remember playing, we went to North Carolina. We played there, and I was kind of like, oh fuck, I don't know if I'm ready. Like, like I'm out right now. It's so like, this is okay. It's okay. Like, not to be ready for this. But then I remember we played my redshirt freshman year. I was playing. We beat Michigan State at home. They were ranked number one. And I remember playing that and thinking like, cause I played pretty well that game. And like, we won. We beat number one team on like our home floor. It's like, you know, I can do this. Like, I can play here. Like, I can like be here. And I think that gave me like some confidence going, and I mean that team was sick. The team was like so much fun to be around. So being with like that group of guys was fun, and then just kind of like just rolling from there, I think gave me a lot of confidence. Yeah, but I mean, anytime you play Michigan State, like you're gonna end up on your ass. You're gonna end up with bruises the next day. Like, this is how those guys.
And anybody like favorite moment or favorite person you ever guarded or favorite anything like that? A specific memory that comes to.
Yeah, I think we beat Purdue at home, and I blocked Isaac Haas at the rim.
Yeah,
I remember that. I was like, go get a 7-footer. Go get it.
You felt pretty good about yourself?
I did, yeah. I was on a little bit of a high after that. Just like, I mean, anytime you go and challenge like a 7-footer, odds are you're probably going to get dunked on. But like, you know, one or two times you don't, or maybe you foul them and they make them earn at the line. But I think I remember that moment being like, well, that was kind of cool. That was
somewhere. How tall are you?
Well, so go run with it.
How tall are you?
I'm 6'7" when I stand up straight and when I run
straight. Stands up straight.
When you stand up.
Yeah, I know.
Good for you. I would take a couple of those. So I'm 5'10".
There you go.
The other two in this podcast are normal size humans, but I'm kind of on the shorter side.
What is normal size? What
do you consider? I would say like 6'1", but that's kind of from the world we come from. That's probably a little big.
The average male is like 5'8" in the world.
It's like 5'9" in the United States or something like that.
So you know what's funny is, as a just a personal memory real quick, going back to football, we were 4 years into playing, and I had a welcome to big time football moment 4 years in, 3 years in starting, when we played Florida in the Outback Bowl. That returner, he gained ground so quick on me straight up the field that I was like, oh, we're not supposed to be on the same field together. That's what this is. That brought a memory back. Funny question real quick. We got a couple Harry Potter questions on Twitter.
Excellent. Always love those.
So I guess maybe it's different. Which movie/book is your favorite of the seven?
Yeah, so those are two different questions. Okay. So my favorite book, Harry Potter and the Half-Blood Prince. I say that's my third because like sets up like for the last one, like has a lot of
moments. I like that one.
Favorite movie is Harry Potter Goblet of Fire for sure. The Private Tournament. That is dope with like the dragons and the maze thing and
you're right, dude. The Triwizard Tournament was
and
epic.
And then Voldemort comes back, and it's like, all right, let's go. So.
Oh, we could talk Harry Potter for days, but the fans don't want to listen to that. I want to hear about you got to play with so many incredible people, right? A lot of the stuff that happens for us, it's all about the people and the memories that you make and the friendships that you create and – people that are still playing, you played with a few that are just real, almost like icons. They're IO icons. Bohannon being one of them. Garza is turning into an absolute machine. Let's just start with your thoughts on the team this year. And then we'll talk a little bit about some of your favorite memories from the guys that are still playing.
Yeah. I mean, it's been a lot of fun. Like, cause I wasn't sure how I was going to feel like watching these guys. And it's like, I mean, it's just like so much fun. Like the first game was a little weird, but then after that, it's like, okay, let's roll. But they're playing really well right now. I think like Luka Garza is playing at an all-American level. Like that's phenomenal. And I think like that's not necessarily surprising the people in the program. I think it's pretty surprising the people outside of the program who like haven't seen how like hard he's been working. I think something that doesn't get enough credit is Coach McCaffrey's doing a hell of a job like coaching these guys. Especially like when you consider how many injuries and like setbacks they've had.
Oh my God, it's ridiculous. Like,
never run on the mill type of thing. So they've been doing really well. And I think like if they keep this up, like they'll definitely be like playing in March. And I think that's the ultimate goal for every like Iowa team is to continue to play like deep into March. And it's just like so fun to watch, like kind of like now, like not as a fan, obviously, because I know what's like, going on, but just like seeing like how fast they play, like how like skilled they are, and I think they're a bit like they're playing really well, like connected together, and it's just a lot.
You ever have a weird moment where you're like, you feel like you're on the bench, and you know, like coach is about to look down and be like, "Yo, Nick, get in the game," or
no? I just know like the sets they're running. Like I'll see like them like line up in, like a certain formation, like oh, like
here we go,
they're like oh, they're about to come back in, or like oh, here we go here type of thing. So that's always fun though, but. I was pretty impressed last night because I had a chance to watch them play against Michigan. That crowd was loud, man.
Yeah,
in the middle of a blizzard too, dude.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that makes like a huge difference too, because like Carver can get really loud, especially like those weekend games. Mm-hmm. Like I think that can be like really special, and I think that definitely does play like a big part in like the outcome of games.
Absolutely. How does
Let's talk some Joe Wieskamp.
Let's talk some Muscatine pride Joe Wieskamp.
I need to hear some Joe Wieskamp talk from you.
Yeah.
It would be such music to my ears.
That dude is as cool as the other side of the pillow. I mean, he's just like very even keel, like doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low. I think he's a pro. I'm not sure if it's going to be this year or next year, but I mean, I think at the end of the day, he's going to be playing at the highest level there is.
Absolute sniper.
Yeah, I mean, like, you can't leave him type of thing. And he's, I mean, like, his form is so pure that, like, it just, like even if, like, he's, like, in a little bit of a slump at some point, like, you know, like, it's not sustainable just by, like, how he shoots the ball. So I'm really looking forward to, like, watching him because I think they're going to have to lean on him a lot, like, the rest of this year, especially with Jordan out. So I think that's going to be really important. But, yeah, I mean, he was, like, a lot. I only played with him for 1 year, but I feel like he committed – like really early, like almost like before I even got there. So it's like, I feel like I've like known him, like I've seen him like every fall, like coming like football games, like business and stuff. So,
I've never met a bigger gym rat. Like he is the pinnacle of gym rat to me.
Yeah. And I mean, I remember like his first like few days, like on campus, like in the summer, like he was like he was just like going and shooting. He's like already in there. Like how do you even have a key yet? Like you shouldn't even like have like access like in here yet.
I feel like Wieskamp is that kid who, at least in high school, the other similar to Drake, how you like weren't a fan of Nick, that dumb like masculine. I'm the athlete at one school. You're the athlete at the other school. I feel like Wieskamp is that guy who is just like every other good player on every other team hated him because he was so good, and because it's just like he doesn't do anything wrong.
No, I mean, especially like in high school, he was getting like triple teamed, like,
and crazy. And still dropping 30 every game.
Yeah. I remember he dropped 50 on Bettendorf. Oh, I remember that. We were in Penn State, like getting ready to play our game the next day. And I checking through Twitter, I see Matt Koss tweeting about how like Joe Wieskamp's lighting us up. Ah. So that didn't surprise me at all.
Yeah. Listen, like I know that everybody in this podcast right now was popular in high school. And like we had, you know, the people of the city were fans of us and this, that, and the other. I have never seen high school popularity like I saw with Joe Wieskamp.
Dude. No, yeah.
I went back to see games. I was in the upper rows because the whole place was packed.
It sold out.
The kid couldn't get off the floor because he had so many autographs to sign. I mean, the line didn't end. It was like, you know, on Bruce Almighty when he's typing the emails back to everybody's prayers and he gets through like a million of them, but he's got 11 million more to go. That's literally how Joe Wieskamp's autograph line was.
Joe was on his Harrison Barnes shit because that's how it was.
On his shit.
That's how
cameras everywhere. This guy was the man.
The thing is, though, it's like that was like completely well deserved, too. Like it wasn't like a bunch of bullshit. Like that's like. He was like living up
to the
ice. Last year, Jordan Bohannon intentionally missed the free throw to keep Chris Street's record alive. Talk about Jordan. Mm-hmm. I think he's obviously a huge focus of the social media Iowa community. He's a little bit polarizing. If there's anyone on the team that is, talk about what it was like being a teammate of Jordan's, what you thought of the missed free throw, what you thought of him leaving the shoes on Iowa State's court this year, all of it.
So I remember like playing against him in high school. I remember like, cause like we had like scout reports and I remember playing with like, oh, this guy's like kind of full of himself. Or this guy's kind of like, you know, type of shit. But, then like I got to college and I was like, obviously like committed and I started like playing with him and, like playing against him, like I hated him, you know, like in high school. But like, he's one of those guys like you love having on your team, though. Like you love playing with him. He's like you kind of mentioned, he's not afraid to let his opinions known. He's really outspoken, which is like very much something he likes to do, and I think he's good at. So I think what's special about him is like really like end of game type stuff. Because like when end of game, like everyone's nerves like get like ramped up a little bit, but like when you watch him and like you look at him, like he calms down. Like everyone else is all like hyped up, jacked up, but he's like, it almost like makes him like calmer, like cooler. And I think that's what makes him special, especially like, I mean, you've seen like the late game heroics he's had like all last year and we'll have again next year. So
is he the most ice water teammate you've ever had?
Not even close.
Right? He is just, he's onions, bro.
No, I mean, just I remember because like our game against was like I remember like our game against Wisconsin his freshman year. He hit that three to like win it, and I was like, we got a killer. We have a killer. So he's you want the ball in his hands at the end of the games, and I mean, odds are it's going to be a great decision, whatever he decides to do. So
I'm like so torn because I wish he was playing for this team right now so badly. But I'm so excited that once this year's over, we still get to watch him
be so
lethal for another year.
Like, I don't want to be, like, too far ahead, but, like, you think about, like, next year's team? Like, you got, like, a full squad. Like, pretty much, I would assume, like, most people are coming back. I mean, maybe, like, Luka and Joe might have some decisions at, like, the end of the year. But, I mean, if, like, those guys come back, a healthy Jordan, like, CJ Frederick, who's – playing out of his mind right now. He's playing really well. I mean, Ryan Kreener's going to graduate, but I mean, that's a really strong core. Jack Nungy is going to come back. So
yeah,
I think they can
it's exciting, dude. It's really exciting, the prospect. But I'm just hoping that those guys don't play too good and they got to get paid this year.
Hey.
If I had to take a guess, Joe's coming back.
I would.
Yeah.
Just knowing who Joe is as a person, I think he's coming back. That's with no insider knowledge at all. That's just knowing him, his family, how much focus his family puts on education and everything. I would have a hard time seeing him leave after
I think Luca's the one with the hard decision.
Right now he's averaging like I did like some research and like I don't think there's because I forget what he's averaging. He's averaging something insane, like 23-11 or something, like 24-11 right now or something. And I was like doing a little bit of research and there's never been a player in a Power Five school who's averaged 20 plus and 10 plus that didn't go in the first round.
Wow.
Like, Jesus. He's gone. So like, he's gone.
If that's an opportunity there, like if he's, I mean, obviously if he's going to get drafted in the first round.
How high in the first round? Because basketball kind of does it weird where the tier system. Weird.
Yeah. So like the first, I mean, if you're like lottery pick, like that's a little like different, but yeah, I'm not sure like the exact, I just know like the first round, you're like guaranteed contracts. Mm. So like, that's like,
that's awesome. Money.
So, I mean, that's some crazy stuff, but I mean, if he does come back next year, like that'd be amazing. But if he has an opportunity to, for both him or Joey, if they have an opportunity to make life changing money,
gotta let the peacock fly, right?
That's what we always say on this podcast, man.
Let the peacock fly. Yeah. Which is so funny. His dad is awesome on Twitter.
Yeah, I love
it. You mentioned Kreiner. What a savage he is, right?
Yeah.
Talk about him. Like, what did you have a good relationship with him and?
Yeah, absolutely. I love him. Yeah, he's a different cat. He's a different cat. He's very like comfortable in his own skin. Like he knows what he does. I think he's obviously like high energy, like on the court. But I mean, he's been like, I think his development's been really impressive like, these last few years. How he's like with his skill set, like how he's like mentally approached the game. That's been really impressive, and I think it's really showing out like his senior year here. Like he had a huge night last
night
against Michigan, like turned the tide, probably hit the biggest shot of the game to put us up four with like 1:30 or 2 minutes to go. So couldn't be happier for him. And I think he's going to like continue to be like a really important role like throughout the rest of the season.
Absolutely.
Great offensive rebounder. That's what I love Ryan Kreiner for.
Yeah.
He gets rebounds that he probably shouldn't get. And
yeah,
it was kind of the Nick Bear special.
Yeah. He's got great hands too, like around the rim, and he's always like, he's always gonna be ready for like offensive rebounds.
Make sure Kevin, I think Nick and Kreiner, I think they're both like honorary Savage backs.
You know what? If we could come up with a Savage back title or definition for basketball, that would definitely fit their mold. That's
the hell Savage Six.
So a Savage back, Nick, is a term that was kind of created by guys who did not start at a position. There's actually some criteria. You were a walk-on white kid who didn't start at a real position, but you played all four phases: punt return, kick return.
Wow!
And so it was named the SB instead of like a DB or an RB. You were an SB.
You could call him the Savage Six instead of Savage Back because he's a six man. Or
new terms up here.
New terms. Any fun or memorable Fran McCaffrey stories?
Oh, hell yeah. How much time? Oh, man. I love him. He's, I think sometimes like, I mean, for about like 90% of the time, like he talks to you, he like uses like this voice, like very like calm, like very like direct. Like I was like, but sometimes when like he does like, you know, like get animated or whatever, like that'll happen. But, I think I remember one of the things I always remember about Coach, he always told us like, we had like, I think it was like early on in my career, we had like a couple like bad practices and he's like kind of like guys getting their own heads or like there's like egos going on, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, guys, like everybody's got problems here. Like everyone's got something like they're going through, but like here's the reality. 50% of the people outside of this room don't care and the other 50% are glad you have them. So like, just like if you got something like, talk to us in here because like people in this program care about you, but like don't like think like people necessarily like outside the program are necessarily like looking for like your best interest type of thing.
It's a hell of a quote.
Yeah,
I love that.
That's always something that's like stuck with me. Like everyone's got shit going on, you know. But
what do you miss most now that you're out and away from Iowa City? We'll get to what you're doing now and what the future for Nick Bear is. But what's the thing you miss most?
You know, I miss – so what was really cool about last season was my brother was on the team. So my brother was on the team. And I think, like, that's something I miss a lot, like getting a chance to, like, see him every day and just, like, being teammates with him. That was something that was really special. I miss
– how special was your whole senior year in general?
Yeah, I think senior year was special because the year we had before was dog shit, and it wasn't very good. And it was, like – that was probably one of, like, the lower, like – parts of like my career, was like understanding, like coming back off that and knowing I didn't want to go out that way. And
a lot of great teams are bounce back teams.
Yeah, bounce back teams.
Because it hurts for a long time.
Yeah. So that was a long summer. Like just like sitting with that. And I knew like being the only senior, like I knew like there was a lot of like responsibility to like help lead the team. And I think I was really like happy with how like my year ended, like going out on like a good note, making the tournament, winning a game and coming within, you know, a couple plays away from being in the Sweet 16.
So close, dude. That was heartbreaking.
Heartbreaking.
Dude. I don't got to tell you, but
I know, but it was just, that game was nuts. Just like being down 25 and then coming all the way back. And
it was nuts watching it.
It was fucking bananas, dude.
I've like rewatched like a few times. Like there's just like a couple plays. Oh, we had this one back, but that one back. But I mean, I'm just proud as hell that we fought all the way back. So,
hell yeah.
But yeah, so senior year, that was special. But yeah, about Iowa City, I miss Dandelion for sure. I go back and get some pancakes there. I miss that. But I mean, I miss like the people most. I mean, for sure.
Miss cooking breakfast for Bohannon?
What's up? Yeah, go to. That's the place.
I said you missed. Yeah, I've seen I saw that you were always cooking breakfast for Jordan. He always posted.
Oh, yeah. I don't even know how that started, but like, yeah, I think I told him because like he didn't eat breakfast for like the longest time. I was like, dude, you got to eat breakfast, bro. You have to eat breakfast. So then I started like tagging him and stuff, and he got annoyed with it. And then he started working on his own craft, and yeah, so back and forth
that's
we
hilarious.
Go. But neither of us better than Dandelion.
Are you a big gamer? You play Fortnite with Jordan?
No, I'm not. I play FIFA, but no, those guys, I'm like so far behind. Like if I like just started now, it'd be like,
yeah, you're like the
dude, you're trash. The old guy now.
Exactly.
Yep. So now talk about, let's, you know, your time in Iowa City ends and bring us from that point to right now, what has transpired in the life of Nick Bear?
Yeah. So, finished up at Iowa, and then right now I'm in Toronto. So I'm with Raptors 905, which is the Toronto Raptors G League affiliate. And I started up here in October. So and I like it up here a lot. It's been a great experience so far. And just like having a chance to play professionally, I think it's been like, it's always like a goal of mine. It's always been a dream of mine. So not quite washed up yet, but still got a ways to go. it's been good though. I think this is a good place for me to like start my career up here, and then hopefully continue my career for as long as I can play and as long as I can, and then figure out the whole adulting thing later.
Dude,
but,
hold off on it as long
What's
as
up?
You can.
Hell yeah!
play
as long as you can, and then when you think you may not want to play anymore, just play a little bit longer just to make. Of it because once this shit is gone, dude, you sometimes wake up from a dream and you're like, wow, I wish I could have just fucking finished that one because you want to do it again so bad.
100%, dude. Don't never graduate, stay in school.
Stay in school
forever. Never washed up.
You're always a washed up walk on from the University of Iowa.
That's true.
That's always over, and that's kind of what this podcast is about.
You were a smart guy, Nick. Yeah.
Yeah, in school.
Pretty good. Because I graduated with like a, you know, like 2.8, you know?
Yeah, I had a communications major, history minor, a leadership certificate, and then I have one semester left of grad school for sports and recreation.
Okay. So when the real life does hit and the Nick Bear jumper just isn't what it used to be anymore, are there what's
life after basketball for you? You think about going into coaching? You think about something else? You have no idea.
So I had a chance to during one of my summers, I had a chance to intern at the University of Iowa Foundation. So I had a chance to work with like athletics development, athletics fundraising. I actually was an intern. The other intern was Ike Bucker. So I had a chance.
Yeah. One of the questions on Twitter was who is the best intern coworker.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, he was a lot of fun. But I think getting a chance to, like, see what they do, that was really cool. Not sure if I want to do it necessarily for Iowa Athletics, but I think, like, fundraising in general for, like, a cause I really care about, that'd be something that I'd be interested in. Cool. So, at whatever level that might be or whatever organization. But I think, like, getting a chance to see how, like, to interact with people and build relationships and then, like, working towards, like, a good cause, I think that's something that's worthwhile.
Awesome.
Are you sure you don't want to sell medical devices?
I'm not going to rule it out.
You want to live in the desert?
Drake. Yeah. We're living in the
Drake's
desert.
Drake's got like six extra bedrooms at his house. So you can go.
I've only got two. Well, no, I've only got one. My mom occupies one. I would never give up my mom's room. But yeah, I do have one.
Okay. Well, then now I'll keep that in mind.
Well, Nick, we are so happy that we were able to finally get you on. I know a lot of people wanted this to happen a lot sooner than it did. We are horrible at the whole podcasting thing, so we're far behind on most of the guests that we're trying to get on here eventually. But I think the fans are really going to enjoy this one. I know we caught you right after like a travel day. What do you have going on right now?
Yeah, so we played in Canton, Ohio last night, and we were supposed to drive back right after the game, but there was like a big snowstorm in the Northeast, great. So we stayed the night, and then we got on the bus at 6:30 this morning, got back at about 12:30, so about a six-hour bus ride. So I'm just gonna hang out, watch some NFL football.
Absolutely. Yeah, who you got? Who you got in these games?
I'm rooting for. The Packers and the Chiefs. I want to see Rodgers, Mahomes. I think that's something like
the State Farm guy.
Well, yeah, State Farm guy. I think that's something that'd just be like most entertaining. But I mean, I mean, if the 49ers win, I'd be fine with that too. Just like I would love to watch George Kittle. I'd love to see that in the Super Bowl.
Hell yeah,
absolute savage.
Bang bang.
Yeah, and I guess. Well, and Monty the Hooker's on the Titans. Shit. So we got
guys all over the place. So
all over the place. So there you go. Can't lose.
Well, Nick,
I had to think. So hold up. I had to think about what Nick just said there because he said Amani Hooker, but on my end, it sounded like my hooker. Oh, and so yeah. He's like, my hooker is on the Titans. And I'm like,
one of the cheerleaders. Yeah. Yeah, great. That's how most of these end. We just fuck it up at the end. And
a great podcast, and Drake just ruins it at the end.
It's just you got the wash up off ice treatment 101.
Thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate it.
Absolutely, and you can come back anytime. Maybe have you back when we get closer to March and in the
yes, we got a March Madness episode with the Hawks in the tournament would be dope.
That would be incredible. So thank you for joining us again.
Can we get a Hawks by a million?
Hawks by a million, baby.
Yeah, let's go. Yeah. That's it. Everybody, right. Have a great day. Peace.
I'm MJ Acosta-Ruiz.
And I'm Lindsay Zarniak.
And together we'll be hosting the On Her Turf podcast. This summer, On Her Turf is hosting a daily Olympics podcast
that focuses exclusively on women's sports and the amazing women competing in Tokyo.
We'll bring you interviews with Olympians and in-depth analysis on your favorite teams.
Plus, we're going to talk about some of the challenges still facing women's sports today.
So join us daily at On Her Turf as we cover all the excitement of the Tokyo Olympics.
Be sure to check us out on Apple Podcasts and be sure to follow On Her Turf on Twitter and Instagram too.